Triple M. Brew and Dits, top three things you need to know.
What's making news, Roo?
Well, the baby story keeps going on. There's more digging and digging, and it sounds like it's needed to be. But it did come out yesterday, Dits, that it wasn't a Melbourne decision. They didn't stop babies coming in. The decision's been made here in Adelaide by someone.
Yep.
They're going to get someone independently to have a look at who made the call. But there's someone's going to be found to have made a bad decision here. I think I've read a bit about it, and it wasn't a Victorian call. It was definitely Adelaide. They're still saying it's right that they don't do it here in Adelaide. It's not a financial decision. We've got Clive Palmer, who wants to even pay for the machines that we needed here, but if the bits that I've read, they're still saying it is better to get it done in Melbourne, where they're doing more of it and more often. So they've got the skills to do it, the resources to do it, the manpower to do it.
All right. Well, then, as we said yesterday, fly these babies over there then.
That's right.
Simple.
That's it.
Yeah.
But they didn't do it.
No.
And that's why they died.
But make sure you do it in future.
Yeah. That's the best I could understand it. There's a lot of written in the paper about it today. The Premier's saying this is not a political decision. It wasn't a money decision. So it was made. They stopped doing it in 2003, I think it was, around 2003 they decided. Prior to that, they'd been doing it here in Adelaide, but then they thought it was best to be done in Melbourne.
So how many would be enough? So four babies die in a 12-month period in our state.
No, it's not about the babies died because of coronavirus. The babies weren't dying before they stopped sending them to Melbourne.
Right.
They were going to Melbourne and they were fine before that.
No, I'm confused now. I thought they died as a result of the condition.
They died of a result of the condition and not sending them to Melbourne.
Yep.
Of fear of them getting infected with the virus.
Right.
They didn't die because from 2003 to 2019, they'd been sending them to Melbourne to get treated.
Right. Okay.
So, the argument now is whether we have our setup here in Adelaide.
Yep.
And they're still saying it's still not viable to do it in Adelaide from a doctor skill point of view,
right.
Not from a financial point of view.
Right, okay.
That's the best I can make of it.
All right. Roo, 5,000 Australians are about to fly back in. In fact, they've started. There are flights out of London arriving in Darwin. So 5,000. These are people that have been stuck overseas. They're Australians, and they've been wanting to come home right throughout this pandemic, and now we're allowing it. So, 5,000 of them.
Ooh.
Now,
they better get a good hotel in Darwin with some good security, I think.
That's right, because if you're coming from places like London, some are coming from India, there's no doubt there'll be people that are infected.
Has to be.
Yeah.
So they better get that right, because the NT's had hardly, I think they've had 28 cases, full stop, from day one. So good that the Aussies are coming home. I hope more of them come home, to be honest, but and then they can stay here. That'll be good. We'll watch this space. The new Trump and Biden debate is happening at 11:30 today.
Yep.
But there's new rules in place.
Each candidate will be muted during their opponent's two-minute window to answer the initial questions in each segment. The former vice president says that it's a good idea. The president is not convinced.
Well, I think the mute is very unfair, and I think that the anchor is a very biased person.
Oh, but this is what the button's going to say when he doesn't shut up.
You can't even
zip it. Zip.
Look,
ladies and gentlemen of the jury, exhibit A.
I want you stop.
Zip it.
If you just one time,
zip it.
Zip it. Austin Powers there doing his best work. So that'll be a bit of fun. I'm sure we'll hear all about the debate and see how that goes. And just a good little feel, this one. Adelaide Oval's new restaurant is going to honour the $70,000 to $80,000 worth of vouchers that were haven't been cashed in at Arana.
Oh, okay.
Well, so they've said,
gesture.
Well, yeah, exactly right. So they've decided to put their hand up and say, I think it's called the Five Regions Restaurant and Bespoke Wine Bar or something like that, is it?
Not sure.
Anyway, 70 and 80K is a lot.
Yeah.
And that's good by the Oval. Well done. You'll get a few ticks in the right area.
Just a final word on that too, Roo. All the people that were against that hotel being built, when I went to the finals the other night, so for the first time I entered through the Eastern Gate since it's all been built.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. It's fantastic.
I went down there yesterday, drove past and thought, it looks stunning.
Yeah.
From the outside, it looks beautiful. You wouldn't even know it's a hotel.
No, that's right.
It's absolutely beautiful. So I think there's one part of it was about the parklands, which is that's just non-existent, that Tree argument.
Yep.
The other one is about the government funding it.
Yeah.
That's you know, you could argue.
Stop violence at home. Don't become that man. Call 1300 24
34 13. What a goal!
Ruined Dits overnight sports.
Brad Crouch has spoken for the first time since it's been announced that he wants to head to St Kilda.
Yeah, I think he was on the golf course. Might have been up in Queensland country, it looked like.
All right, let's have a listen to what he had to say.
I do need a fresh start. I need a change of environment. I need to get back out of my comfort zone. I feel like I've been in my comfort zone for a while now at the footy club. And I think the last couple of weeks has probably been another sign that I do need a change. The longer and longer it was, the more apparent it became that, you know, I was going to choose St Kilda. I probably saw them as a real up-and-coming club.
All right. We've got a bit more on...
There's obviously the contract stuff for me and the team's performance throughout the season and the stuff at the end of the season with the incident. So it's been a tough year, but, you know, I'm going okay. But I still love the footy club. I want them to get the best compensation for me as well. So I think everyone seems to be working together at the moment to get the best deal for everyone involved.
Rue, I've run into him quite a bit down at the golf club. He plays with Tex down there a lot, and his brother, and he plays with Seeds. And look, I think he's a terrific lad.
He's a good lad.
And he's had a hard year, and I hope he can move on to better things.
What do you think about someone who says they're in a comfort zone?
Then he's being honest. he's being honest. And he knows.
Being honest.
But he's admitting it himself and saying, I need to get out of this comfort zone. So I think that's a fair statement to make. Or not?
Oh, it's a fair statement. I'm not sure you're going to play good footy in a comfort zone or how you get in a comfort zone.
No. But he's admitted it. So
yep, exactly.
That's the first thing you need to do.
Yep.
Grand final tomorrow. Who are you going for?
I'm going for the Tigers, Dits. A little bit of rain around. I think they're a bit too fast as well. And I think they'll get up just.
Okay. The story is growing that Orazio Fantasia is being linked to Port Adelaide. So we'll see what happens there. And also Alir, which you talked about the other day.
Yeah, not sure they'll get Alir, but apparently they've asked about him. But
okay.
Orazio's definitely up for grabs.
All right. North Melbourne are in all sorts of trouble, Roo. So Reece Shaw has parted ways. They need a new coach. Any names that are bobbing up?
I think the names that they'll go for, I mean, David King threw up Mick Mulhouse. He thinks they need someone experienced there. Mick would probably take the job. I don't think Ross Lyon would take the job. And then the other group after that are someone like an Adam Kingsley, ex-Port, who's at Richmond.
Yep.
You got Lepich, who's been at Richmond as well, who's coached before. Obviously, Voss and Bass, who are at Port Adelaide.
Yep.
Uze, who has gone to Melbourne from Hawthorn, and Robert Harvey. I think it'll come out of that group of people, unless you can find another one that I haven't thought of.
All right. Things aren't all that good at Arden Street either. 12 players are on their way out the door, and they've made several coaches redundant as well. So.
Absolute. If you thought Adelaide was a solid rebuild, this is bigger than that.
And what about problems at GWS as well? They're losing quite a few players all of a sudden.
Yeah, they have. Jai Caldwell, who's a gun young midfielder who was courted by a number of clubs, he decided yesterday that he was going to Essendon as well. So they've got quite a few walking out the door, but they'll get some good picks in, and they might even get some players from Geelong to get the deal done with Jeremy Cameron. So don't write them off just yet. And Eddie McGuire yesterday, very, very big raps for Gil McLachlan for what he's done, as we said at the top of the show, to get the season done.
Absolutely. I think Gil McLachlan should almost get an Order of Australia for services to the community this year, what he's been able to do, pulling it all together. It has been a fantastic effort by everybody in football, including all the supporters and the members of the AFL clubs who stuck right the way through.
Yep, fair point.
Yep, and the other thing is it's been a great result financially. At the start of the year, I said to you, like, a club like Adelaide was looking at losing, you know, $11 million or something, which, you know, just takes about 7 years probably, 5 to 7 years to pay off.
Yeah.
And it's nowhere near that now, so probably half of that, and the same with the AFL. So well done to everyone.
Rue, I drove down Port Road yesterday and went past Karen Rolton Oval. Gee, that's a beautiful looking ground. But
spectacular.
Travis Head yesterday belted the Taswegians. 171 not out,
he was due, wasn't he?
Yeah, so great knock from Travis Head.
Well done, Trav. Good on you.
Now, Rue, we had Lockie Neal tell us, was it yesterday, how to pronounce his town?
I've heard a lot. There's been Kibibolite, Kybobolite, it's Kybibolite. Everyone calls it Kybi, though.
Yeah, so Kybi. Now, watching the front bar last night, Mick struggled.
Best player of the league comes from this tiny town with a population of about 100. Kybibolite, have a look. They did a live cross and it's fantastic. Kybibolite. I think I forgot to buy.
I listen.
Kybibolite.
Kybibolite. There's another take on it. And tell me, the biggest news story of the week, how did the Torpedoes go last night?
Yes, they had another win, my under-10s basketball side. Hey. So we're 2 from 2 after going winless for the entire first part of the year.
Was there a major overhaul?
I went heavy in the trade period.
There's a bit of North Melbourne about this. So you got rid of a few.
Delisted a few. I did a bit of North and did a bit of Port recruiting from a couple of years ago.
2 from 2.
Yeah.
The super coach.
What?
Hey, the super coach.
Contract extension. Yeah.
There's a bit of Phil Smythe about you, isn't there?
What did Phil do?
Well, he's a good coach. He won 3 titles.
Yeah, well, I had spoke to Phil yesterday, actually. Got a couple of new drills off him.
Right.
Yeah, no, I'm reaching out.
Hell.
You don't win 2 from 2 by chance, Dits.
No.
You've got to do the hard work.
You've done your homework.
Exactly right.
What's your zone defense like?
Solid. Yeah, okay. Very hard to get through my zone defense. So outdoor court in the rain last night, degree of difficulty was pretty solid.
Was it? Okay. Mm. All right, well done to the Torpedoes.
Thank you.
Dits here on, can we put Triple M on their singlets? We sponsor them?
It's not cheap. This is the most sought-after Guernsey in Australia.
Right.
The top 5 things we've learned on Ruin Dits this week.
Number 5. Ruin Dits have started a terrible band.
You're on percussion, Mel's on the sax, I'm on the harmonica.
They play a song and you got to guess it. But we learned Roo doesn't even know what song he's playing.
Oh, I did hear it for the first time there.
You got it?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I heard it. I never remember what we did.
If you haven't heard this before, Roo doesn't often know which song we're actually playing. He just beats along on his drums there.
I do when I'm doing it. I just forget it pretty quickly. There's nothing wrong with playing contact sport.
Righto, let's see if the listeners can figure out the song. Keep in mind, the computer in the studio broke, so the guys have to do their own sound effects.
I reckon it's Bruce Springsteen, Hungry Heart.
Well, computer system's gone down. We can't give you the official bum bum. We just have to make it out, all right?
I reckon it's Sympathy for the Devil.
Bum bum.
Bum bum.
I reckon it's One by U2.
Sorry, Gordy.
Number 4. Dits went to the Port prelim final and invited his wife along.
Bum bum.
Bum bum.
We learnt she may not be invited back.
We get the game and she said, "Now, you're not just going to ignore me all night, are you?" I said, "No, I'm not." I said, but Kate, understand, I'll be watching the game intently. She said, "We're allowed to talk a little bit, aren't we?" I said, "Well, yeah, but..." So, you know, now, well, I'm sitting there and she goes, "How big's this oval?" I said, "What?" She goes, "Is this bigger than Norwood Oval?" I went, "Yeah." Anyway, she goes, "Well, how much bigger?" I said, "I don't know." She said, "Well, you think it's 20% bigger?" I said, "I don't know." She said, I went to Norwood Oval a lot as a kid and I'd catch the bus and go and watch it. I said, "Yeah, that's good, babe. Terrific. Thank you. What's the biggest oval in that?" I'll go and Elizabeth. It went on and on. Kate, are you fair thinking?
Here's some audio of Dits at the footy calmly asking his wife to stop talking.
"You absolute rabbit! Oh, I don't believe it!"
Number 3. We do kids' jokes on Wednesday. We learn 11-year-old Phoenix has been listening to his uncle's dirty jokes.
"What did the saggy boob say to the other saggy boob?"
Oh, I ain't got a saggy boobs.
All right. What did it say?
"We better start getting support now. People are going to start thinking we're nuts."
Oh, no.
No.
Oh, Phoenix.
That joke was a bit crude. Does Phoenix win a prize, guys?
Bow-bow.
Bow-bow.
Number 2. We tried to learn who has a higher pain threshold, men or women.
Women don't have testicles, so they've never ever been hit in the nuts.
Yeah.
I mean, how painful is that?
Or got you. So you haven't little lived. Fella caught in the zipper.
Yeah, exactly.
That hurts.
Yeah.
There's no way, first of all, you can compare childbirth to getting your thing stuck in a zipper.
Good on you,
as the equivalent amount of pain.
So true. Have you had your dick caught in a zipper? That's pretty bloody painful, trust me. Because you don't know whether to push through or rewind the zip.
Exactly. Oh.
Do you go further and risk it zipping it right up? Or do you pull it backwards and...
So that topic is all zipped up. Men have a higher pain threshold.
Bow,
bow.
Number 1, we learned from Alice the producer about the new TV show SAS Australia.
SAS Selection is designed to break the most elite soldier.
Starts with it on a helicopter and they just have to jump off the helicopter into the ocean.
Ooh.
And like Chappelle.
From how high?
Like helicopter height? No, like, I don't know.
Helicopter height.
No, that was a silly thing to say.
Yeah. Helicopter height. Just like in Predator with Arnie.
Get to the chopper!
How far away is it?
Chopper distance.
Do you know what? Don't ask me how many pigeons. I don't know how
10
high.
10 metres, 50 metres.
Helicopter
height. Oh, helicopter height.
Is helicopter height a legitimate measurement?
Bam,
bam.
The top five things we've learned on Ruined Dits this week.
Plenty of highlights there. Good on you, Sammy Morrison.
At least Mel couldn't stuff up pushing the button when she went bam, bam.
Like she normally does.
Yeah, like she normally does. Yeah.
All right. Oh, look at the face on her. Righto. Let's go to a break. Try and push the right one there, Mel.
See if I can manage.
He's a plumber.
Rudy's Plumbing. You block it, we unblock it.
He has a funny accent.
My mum's from Holland and my dad's from the Netherlands. It's a beautiful accent, isn't it?
And he also happens to be Australia's meanest TV reviewer.
Australian television, it is manure.
Please welcome to Ruin Dits for Breakfast.
Every week right here on Triple M.
Rudy Vanderstone, TV reviewer.
And listening to that intro, it's getting meaner and meaner, I reckon.
Oh, I think he enjoys a bit of punch.
He's been tough lately. Yeah. Good morning, Rudy.
Good morning to you, Ditson. Good morning to you, Roo, and everybody listening in Adelaide. This is exciting for me because normally I would say Australian TV is manure.
Yeah.
But on Monday night, one of the biggest events on Australian television occurred when Seven aired SAS Australia.
Okay.
Ooh, do I detect that you actually like it?
I'm into it.
Right.
Okay. Now, SAS Australia is where 17 C-grade celebrities trying to resurrect their career are tortured by military perverts for the possibility of fame down the track.
Right. Good description.
This show is pretty much Survivor, Big Brother, and I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, all rolled into one. We see all the contestants close up, and in some cases naked, some wobbling bottoms there, put through physical trials to see who will break and who will win.
Okay.
It's very Survivor in a lot of ways, and very Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, except we're spared the lame jokes of Julia Morrison, Yvette. They are instead replaced with an angry, dysfunctional pommy, probably with PTSD from a theatre of war, screaming hatred and abuse at people we already hate. It's delicious. I love this show. Now, after on episode one, as you guys know, after doing a dead man's drop out of a helicopter, swimming in ice-cold water, crawling up and down a muddy beach, all the whilst being screamed at, the celebrities don a 20-kilo pack, do a 10K run, and then it got interesting because they had to put on headgear, and boxing gloves, cold and exhausted. Then they paired off and started fighting each other. I've got to ask Australian television producers, why has it taken this long to come up with the perfect formula? All we want to see is celebrities punch each other in the face.
Yes.
Okay? That's all we want to see. Start getting more shows together where there's people, men, women, whatever, punching each other in the head.
Celebrity UFC we want.
You could have a celebrity boxing night. I think you could come up with a few good matchups of TV personalities. Yeah.
There's a couple of women I want to take on. Don't you worry about that.
No.
I'm referring, of course, to AFLW star Sabrina Frederick.
Right.
She volunteered and nominated Nick the Honey Badger Cummins to fight with. She said every day was a fight for her as a black woman in a same-sex relationship trying to break through in a male-dominated industry, and she wanted to make a statement, and she did make a statement. Nick beat her to a pulp. It was it was a big decision on her part, but I mean, you know, she's choosing a dude who played for Australia, and of course Nick Cummins, you know, what a tremendous bloke. He's broken so many women's hearts as The Bachelor. Now he decides to beat one on another form of reality TV.
Getting quite a reputation.
I'll move on.
All right.
Next up was comedian Merrick Watt. He took on fast bowler Mitchell Johnson. Now Merrick, of course, used to be on the Triple M network, and you may or may not know this, he's got a black belt in Taekwondo.
Has he?
He hasn't.
He has indeed.
I didn't know
Come
that.
On.
In this fight, he looked like he had a black belt in being bitch slapped.
Yeah,
I'll tell you
exactly
what.
Right. He was hopeless.
He got his head punched off, and then he started doing the windmill, ended up in a crumpled heap.
Some of his punches look
less than convincing. It's the first time I've actually enjoyed cricket. I should actually make that part of the game. Once and over, the bowler just goes down and punches the batsman in the face a couple of times.
A bit of DK Lily, Javed Mendez.
Absolutely. You want to have a go at my aluminium bat, I'll kick you. Now, Finally, it was Roxy Jajenko, who I'm sure you're all familiar with. She copped a hiding from Candace Warner, which was probably the most enjoyable part of the show. Because in her pre-show interview, she must have said she's never failed 15 different times. Have a listen to this.
I don't actually think I've had a failure. I honestly can say that. I think I've put everything in place so that I'm not in a position where failure occurs.
Right.
She failed. I think it would have been better to, instead of having Roxy Jajenko there, having the poo jogger that terrorised her.
Yes, she started the poo jogger story,
At least she was goals-focused, the poo jogger, and determined to get the job done. this is a show that I am truly addicted to. I hate myself because I love it so much. Goodbye. I'm giving it 5 stars.
Yes! 5 stars!
Wow. We've been waiting about 5 years for a 5-star.
Good on you, Rudy.
Well, that's it. I've got to go and dig some holes now, Todd Seaton.
Righto.
See you, Rudy.
See you, Rudy.
We're lucky enough to have a chat to Lachie Neal the other day, and such a modest lad and a really, really nice lad. His dad's on the front page of the paper today. He'd be as proud as punch about his lad and what he's doing in the football world. But just because you're good at footy doesn't mean that you're good with the women, does it, Dits? and Lachie Neal found out the hard way.
So I was used to that when I was 18, mate. I didn't have much luck. So I was at a nightclub, and I think the whole team was there. Pav was out, so the whole team must have been out if the old boy was there. So I saw her there, and I was a bit shy, and I said to Pav, tried to get the big dog to go and ask her out for me. And, he came back and said she wasn't interested in a 18-year-old Harry Styles looking kid.
So how'd you change your mind? You ended up getting her. You must have done something right.
Just persistence paid off in the end. I ended up meeting her a couple of times throughout my time in Perth.
Failure can't cope with perseverance, they say. So he just kept going back and back and back and ended up marrying his wife, Jules. So well done to Lachie Neal. But it's a horrible feeling when you sort of try and get a date or get something to get knocked back, isn't it?
Girls don't realise how hard it is for
us. They don't, do they?
How nervous you are to go and ask in case you get rejected.
It's really like back before Tinder and all this sort of stuff. You actually had to front them.
Jeez, the lads have got it easy now, haven't they?
Yeah. I mean, we had to spend $100 on drinks to get the courage up to be able to do it.
Yep.
You spent all night thinking about it. And about 11:45, you just thought, nah, I've got to have a crack here.
Yeah.
And sometimes it worked and sometimes it didn't.
Just that long walk back and they've said no.
Yeah, and then
your mates
were so just
supportive.
Supportive is the word I was looking for.
Didn't they just throw their arm
Sucker!
Around you?
So you were never going to get there, mate. You never had a chance there. What do you think you were? Have a look in the mirror.
And then the worst thing is your mate would walk up and she'd go, yeah, sure. Yeah.
That never happened to me. Anyway, 1-3-3-5-3. When have you been rejected? Tell us your story.
And did perseverance pay off?
Exactly. Did you do a Lachie Neal and just keep going and end up marrying her?
What are my chances?
Not good.
You mean not good, like 1 out of 100?
I'd say more like 1 out of 1,000,000.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
Yes! Let's go to Selig Beach. G'day, Dave.
Good morning, boys. How are we?
You been knocked back, Dave?
Yeah, many years ago, around about my 20-year-old, I was trying to hook up with a young lady, and she kept pushing me away. I was a pretty chubby sort of lad, and wasn't doing real well, and about 8 years later, I was fit, healthy, bouncing in nightclubs. I was actually working in Players Bar. I'm sure you know all about that one, Ruth.
Right,
you didn't bounce me out, did you?
I reckon when you came in after your grand final, all you boys were having fun.
Right, thank you. That's fun's a good word.
It was. But, I was hooked up with this lady, or caught up with this lady again many years later at the club, and threw their reversal on her, and she wanted to come home and, you know, hook up, and it's like, no thanks, I'm not interested.
Cop that. The last laugh.
Cop that.
Good one, Dave.
It was very satisfying at the end of the day.
Well done, Dave.
Good work, Dave. That's
you know what
story
I used to get all the time? I just want to be friends.
Oh.
That old chestnut.
And you didn't want to be friends.
I didn't want to be friends.
No.
I got enough friends.
I don't need one more.
I got enough. Good work.
Us poor blokes get knocked back, Rui. We get rejected.
It's not easy. Even the Brownlow medalist, Lachie Neal, got rejected from his now wife, but he just kept going back. He kept going back. He kept going back, and now he's married to her, and they're happily married up there in Brisbane. Let's go to Wollonga. G'day, Joe.
Hey, morning, boys. How's it going?
Good, thanks, Joe. You been knocked back?
Yeah, once or twice. The worst time was when I was about 11, back in the 80s.
11?
About 11, mate. Yeah. It's affected me ever since.
Where were you at 11?
It's affected you ever since?
Well, the youth group had organised a barn dance. So
Friday.
We were dressed up in our country and western gear, and we were doing a bit of food slapping, and there was this girl across the room, and I sort of said to my mate, "Well, go and ask, go tell her I want to get on with her." We used to say, "Get on with her."
Get on with her.
So he went over and he goes, so he said something to her, and they sort of looked over at me, and I'm doing my 11-year-old blue steel look. Mm-hmm. And she cracked up laughing, and he came back and he said, "Nah, mate, she's not interested. She reckons you're a face ache."
A face ache?
What? A face ache? What's that? He goes, "I don't know, mate, but it ain't good."
Doesn't sound good, Joe. No. Let's go to Banksia Park. G'day, Jack.
Hey, boys. How are we?
Good, thanks. Jack, how old are you?
I'm 21.
All right. You're right in the hitting zone of knockbacks.
Yeah.
But it was 13 when I got knocked back.
Oh, okay. Did it hurt?
Yeah, it did. It stung a bit. She was the bar girl at my footy club.
Right, so you're having a crack at the bar girl at 13. You're all ambitious.
She's my age. Okay. She was
being a glassy or something?
Yeah, taking orders for dinner and a bit of glassy work and stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, what'd you do, wink at her?
I guess you could say, she was my first crush, and I kept trying to build up the courage to go up and order my chicken schnitty with pepper gravy and try and have a quick word to her, but one day when I did, she's kind of just looked at me, looked past me, and asked the next bloke what he wanted to order. Turn me away.
Didn't have something to do the fact you ordered three schnitzels already that night. You just kept going back and asking her.
Like
now, where is she now, Jack?
She's actually at my place, I reckon.
What?
She's my current girlfriend.
You got it! Jacko!
Well, you better take her out for dinner. What do you reckon?
I reckon you need to go to Jack and Jill.
Go to Jack and Jill.
Don't tell me your girlfriend's name's Jill.
Nah, it's Paris.
Who?
Paris.
Paris.
Nice.
Jack and Paris.
Righto.
Up a tree, KISSING.
All righto. Jack and Jill's mate at 121 Peary Street. We'll send you in there, okay? All right.
All right, Jack. He's already gone. He's already getting
dressed. Fresh air.
Mm-hmm.
All right, 7:29. What a beautiful story.
Yeah, good story.
The winner of the 2014 Norm Smith Medal is Luke Hodge.
He's done it twice in grand finals. He knows all about the big day. Let's hit him on. Hodgie, good morning.
Good morning, guys. What's going on?
That wasn't a very popular Norm Smith Medal win. The old crowd went crazy there, Hodgie. Was that the second one?
2014. Yeah, so it was a good day. It was to beat Bud and Sydney after Bud left us to go up there. So it was a good result for us.
Oh, you gave him a kiss that day too, didn't you?
I did. Yeah, I'm not sure why. I've been asked so many times. Even my sons go, "What the hell were you thinking?" And I was coming up with a decent answer. So one of those stupid things that you did on the footy field.
Lots of people who wanted to kiss Buddy Franklin. Most of them girls, but anyway, Hodgie, you played in you won 4 premierships and you've won 2 Norm Smith medals. Who's going to win this grand final? Geelong v the Tigers. Most people think they're the best 2 sides of the year.
Yeah, but I did an interview about round 15, and I felt after watching all the teams up here live that I felt that they were the best 2 teams. Just how they handled pressure and the style of football they had, even though Port Adelaide and Brisbane finished on top, it just felt that they had that. They could lift that gear that the other teams couldn't. And we saw that in prelim final. I think we've got storms coming. So I think we've got a bit of rain forecast for the grand final. And I think it's going to lean into Richmond's favour just with their chaos style manic football, I think it might be pushing towards Richmond.
Hodgie, can I just tell you that I'm an astute judge. I said here on Monday on this show that they're going to struggle to sell tickets for this because the fans can't travel and I think it sold out in 20 minutes. Yeah. Anyway, my question is: has apart from the 30,000 that sold the place out, has Brisbane embraced this grand final? Are you really feeling it around the city?
Yeah, they have. And that's one thing that surprised me. 3 years ago when I first moved up here, I went and did a clinic at Toowoomba and they asked me, what's it like to play with JT? And I'm like,
Jonathan Thurston's.
Thurston plays league. And they said, oh, that's good. They said, oh, how many tries have you scored? I'm like, wrong game again. So from that to this year where they've been lucky enough, because of all the COVID stuff, they've seen football either down at Metricon or the Gabba, it's really built it up here. And to see my son's schools now that they're running around with AFL jumpers on.
Wow.
I went down to a clinic. They got festivals all over Brisbane. They've got big screens lined up everywhere. And one thing is there's people that are really supporting it. So I think everyone understands it's a once-in-a-lifetime event to have outside of Melbourne, and they're really embracing it up here. I think it would have been bigger having Port Adelaide or Brisbane up here being a home state or having all the Port Adelaide supporters fly over.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Having Geelong and Richmond are two big teams anyway.
You would have got your house knocked off, Hodgie, if Port got in it. The finals last week rated really well on TV. 1.1 million for AFL and the NRL was only 800,000. So AFL in Queensland is certainly working. That's been one of the unexpected upsides for the AFL. The growth in the northern states is going to be good for football going on. Hey, I want to ask you about Dusty Martin and Patrick Dangerfield, the two gun midfielders that are now spending a majority of their time forward of centre. You've definitely stood Danger. I know I can remember that day. Have you stood Dusty, and who do you think's the most dangerous or hardest to stand?
Mate, I've played on both of them, and they both kicked six that day. So I'm not the best person to.
It's a bit of consistency there.
You know how I like to play football. I used to stand back, be spare, and point to all the young guys to go and man someone up. So when I had to go and man someone like a Dusty or a Danger, I'm like, oh, geez.
That was cruel. They did that to you at the end of your career.
Yeah, it was. I think I stood Danger in my 290th game and Dusty my 340th. So I couldn't blame anything else but myself, my lack of speed and lack of flexibility. But with those guys, mate, you sort of sit back and you can understand why the coaches want to put them in the middle because they're both powerful, they both can find the ball. But I think we've seen with Geelong, when Danger's played forward, it's given responsibility to the rest of their side. And Geelong is such a better team because it's an even spread of workload throughout the middle. And these guys up forward, they can kick six, they can take hangers. And unfortunately for Danger, I think it's going to rain, which is probably not going to play into his style as much as the others, as much as Dusty's.
Tell us what it does to a defender when you see those guys come down to the forward line.
Mate, you yell for your wingers to get back and help out as fast as they can. There's no worse feeling than standing at half back, especially because they don't like to squeeze up. They want to stay deep inside the forward 50. So you're one on one with either a Dusty or a Danger, and they're streaming through. And you look at the caliber of players that Richmond midfield have with the Cochin and the likes, Prestia, and then you look at Geelong with a Selwood, Guthrie, Menengola, those blokes you can kick the ball in. There's no worse feeling standing one out in the 50 of these guys where they can lead up, they can sit back and they can take a hang on your head. So good luck with us going to man them.
All right. What about a quick tip? Who do you like?
I grew up barracking for Richmond and I grew up near Geelong. So I'm sort of stuck on both ways. My heart says Geelong, I want to see Danger win a flag for what he's done for the game. Mm-hmm. And I want to see Gaz go out with a flag, but I'm just thinking with this storm coming through, a lot of rain and Richmond's chaos football, I'm thinking Richmond are going to be too good.
All right, now, just as you leave us, I can tell you, Roo, we've just had a text message come in. This is Stephen from Aberfoyle Park. He's saying, I hope that I hear Hodgie say at the end of this interview, see you at the Crows soon, Roo. Would love him as an assistant coach next season. There you go.
Well, you got uncles in Adelaide, haven't you, Hodgie?
What's that?
You've got a couple of uncles, haven't you, in Adelaide?
I've got a few family over there, but mate, you should see the weather up here. The weather in winter up here is amazing.
It's great down here too. Don't worry about that. It's very good.
I spoke to a lot of the Hawthorn people and said when they were stuck out at Barossa and they couldn't win a game, they couldn't do anything. It wasn't that fun.
Come on, Hodgie.
Thanks for joining us, mate. Well done.
Excellent. Thanks,
there
guys.
He is. Luke Hodge, a man who knows how to win grand finals.
Dez's minibus and taxi hire can take you to your destination. 1333 77 or dezsminibus.com.au.
I don't even know what we play.
Get ready for the WOAT, the worst of all time.
$400 today with the worst of all time, our band Tragedy. Let's have a listen. Yeah, it's a good song.
It's clear as bell.
It's a well-known song. It's a massive hit.
$400
$400 Give us a ring now. 1-triple-3-5-3 What is it that the band's playing?
G'day, Roo. I think it's Bohemian Rhapsody by Queen.
Thunderbolts and lightning, very, very frightening me.
Oh, sorry, Wayne.
Let's go to Gola. G'day, Tommy.
Hello.
How you going, Tom?
Good, thanks.
How old are you?
I'm 11.
Hey, you on your way to school, Tom?
Yeah.
Which school do you go to?
Freeling Primary School.
Freeling. Good on you, mate. Hey, $400 would change your life, Tom.
Yeah.
Be Kit Kats all around at lunchtime today, wouldn't it?
Yep.
All right, what song do you think it is, Tom?
I think it's Advance Australia Fair.
Oh. The national anthem. I'll play this tomorrow before the granny.
Tingles on the spine, Dits.
Sorry,
I would have loved
Tom.
To give it to Tom.
Oh, sorry, mate.
I would have loved
have
to,
a good
Tom.
Day in school, Tom.
Have a good day, Tommy. Let's go to Woodcroft. G'day, Terry.
Hello, how are you?
Good on you, Terry. Yeah, very good.
What do you think it is?
Terry, it's Terry.
Oh, Terry with a K.
Oh,
sorry,
Terry. Yeah.
I'll forgive you.
I usually blame Alice, but we've extended an olive branch today and we're on the same page now.
I think it's Hunters and Collectors, Holy Grail.
Ooh. Big grand final song this
one. Tomorrow too.
Yeah. Oh, here we go. For $400.
Oh, Kerry.
Sorry,
bad
Kerry.
Luck, Kerry.
Did she say a naughty word then?
I don't know. I'm looking forward to Mike Brady at the MCG tomorrow.
On his own?
Yeah. Surely they're going to make that work.
Well, you'd hope so.
You'd hope so.
Yeah. All right. So $500, thanks to Dez's, on Monday morning. 8:09 on this Friday morning, grand final eve. We'll talk to Billy Brownless in this hour.
Oh, he'll be up and about. The Cats haven't been in a granny since 2011. They've been around the mark, but they haven't taken that next step. We've got a tip later on as well. I'll try and find your winner. Rudy Vanderstone will join us. He's critiquing SAS Australia, Dits.
Yeah.
And we've got 50 ways to tell you all about as well.
Now, you've got a bit of a rumour for us.
Have I?
Hmm.
Okay. Well, Wolf Mother were talking to Queensland Triple M, Spider Everett.
Gold Coast, yeah?
Yeah, that's right, up on the Gold Coast. And I don't know if he slipped this out accidentally or not, but have a listen, and it could be a big win for Adelaide.
What do you got booked? What can we look forward to?
We've got a possible New Year's Eve gig in Adelaide.
Excellent.
The Adelaide Oval.
Oh, that's big.
8,000 people.
Yeah, that'll be massive.
Hang on.
Yeah, he's let that slip. Now, they wouldn't be the mainline act, you would think. I'm just guessing. They could be, but I don't think they are.
Do you know something?
No, but I'm just guessing. We've only just heard this.
Wolf Mother's pretty big, aren't they?
Yeah, they are, but don't you think they'd be a real, real main headline act or not?
Not sure, but, I mean, you know Wolf Mother really, really, really well. You remember when
he's
you
a mate of mine.
You remember when you interviewed Andrew Stockdale?
Andrew Stocktail joins us. Andrew, good morning.
Hi, Dits. How are you?
Very good, thanks. Andrew, can I call you Stocky?
Yeah,
What do they call you, Andrew?
That was my old nickname.
Fantastic. Hey, he called me Dits.
I think it's
we're
very
on
fair.
We are on nickname terms.
That's right. We'll ring him up and find out.
Stocky.
So just say to Stocky, hey, Stocky. Surely you're not going to be the headline act.
Well, I wouldn't open with that question.
Well, that's what you just said.
Well, I'm just wondering. What do you think?
I don't know.
All right, but anyway, sounds like there's a gig.
At Adelaide Oval.
Now, as Midday Sam Morrison said to us, normally they have the BBL, the Big Bash League, on New Year's Eve. So is it, do you remember?
That's a good call.
36ers did it for quite a few years in a row. It was like a party. They'd play their game and then the fans would have a New Year's party. So have they planned something like that at the Adelaide Oval? Again, we're just guessing here.
But Big Bash get 25,000 there, don't they?
Yeah, he said 8,000, didn't he?
Mm.
Wow.
What's happening with Big Bash?
Sorry?
What's happening with Big Bash?
I haven't heard. Haven't heard. But anyway, there's something for you to think about and look out for.
And that's something for us to go digging.
Yep, there's some sort of concert happening New Year's Eve at Adelaide Oval. You heard it here first.
Top five up next, then Rudy Vanderstone, then Billy Brownless.
Ruined, it's on Triple M.
We are Geelong, the greatest team of all. We are Geelong, the greatest team of all.
That man singing out of tune.
Did we wake up, Billy?
Is Billy Brownless.
No, I'm just standing here with my Geelong jumper on, my Geelong jocks running around the land room. Can't wait for it.
Darn, I'm having my breakfast.
Hey, we replayed that joke you did the other week after you went for an early morning walk and the lady come up with the dog.
Poor old Rover. You haven't, Rover, have you?
Now, Bill, why can or how can Geelong beat Richmond tomorrow?
Well, I'll give you a couple of reasons. The Gabba, they love the Gabba. 5 from 5 at the Gabba, and right, that's their home ground.
Okay. So are the Tigers.
Also, their back line has just come together beautifully.
Right.
Tommy Stewart and Blix Arves and Harry, they're just playing really good footy. Number 3 is Danger, and thanks for him again, Rube. Fantastic to have the mighty Danger there, who's... first grand final, and then we'll just do it for Gazza and Harry. So there you go. There's 4 good reasons why they win.
No, I reckon you're faster than Harry Taylor. What's happened to his legs? He's got a real Cliff Young shuffle going, hasn't he?
Well, he's always had that shuffle. Honestly, if you saw him run and he was a horse, you'd put him down. You'd put him down, but he's always had that. But he gets around and he'll take big Tom Lynch. And luckily, Tom's not the fastest bloke going around either. But it doesn't look good. It looks like there's a hurricane, there's a cyclone, there's whirlies, there's all sorts of things happening at the Gabba. It's going to be very, very frightening.
Thunder
and lightning.
Now, usually this week, you are just, clipping the ticket big time with cashies all over Melbourne, telling the same joke about Gary Ablett putting the rubber band around his shoe. they would have all dried up, Bill. The sock drawer is going to be empty.
Now, I'll tell you what I'm sick of. Bloody Zooms. Zooms can get stuff because you don't get paid for Zooms. You get nothing for bloody Zooms. They just hang up. There's no envelope at the end of the Zoom.
No.
That's true, I see.
No. So where are you going to watch the game, Bill?
I'll go down the pub. We are open in Geelong, of course.
Not in Melbourne, though, but in Geelong you're open.
Yeah, we're open. We're regional, mate, so we're open with restrictions, but still, at least we can open. We can get 40 indoors. We can have 70 outdoors. And, mate, I'll be indoors at the pub.
Do you have to sit down for a beer?
Yeah, you'd have to sit down, but you're allowed to take your mask off, which is something. But I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll get in there about 2. I'll have a couple of frothies. Cox plate, of course. Have a couple more frothies. Have a steak singer. And then the footy comes on and look out.
How do you go playing day-night games, Bill? Do you pace yourself or are you under control for a day-nighter?
No. I'm very responsible nowadays. I get on the Great Northern early. On the Great Northern. And then I get onto the Mother's Milk Carlton draft later in the night. And then a little change up, a CC and dry now and then.
Dry, Bill.
That's very sophisticated.
Yeah.
Now, who's going to win the Cox plate?
Oh, I like Russian Camelot. I know he got beaten last start, but Sars seemed set for the Cox plate. So Russian Camelot for me there. Russian Camelot. Into Geelong, into Storm, there's a nice, a bit responsibly, but have a crack at it.
You know, a horse has never, ever, ever, ever won from the widest barrier in the Cox Plate, in the history of the Cox Plate.
So that means it's not going to? Right, rules will be there to be broken.
That's right, Bill.
Mate, we would never climb Mount Everest or whatever they climb. So you've got to do these things. And she's a
nice analogy.
Probably could have thought of a better one, to be honest.
All right, Billy. Well, enjoy luck, your Bill. Grand final, mate. I hope the Cats can get up for you.
Yes. Thank you, Rooboy, and good on your dits. Keep eating that breakfast. Jeez, it'd be a bloody big
I saw
breakfast.
You on TV this morning. You shouldn't throw stones. I had to get a wider TV.
I'll tell you what, the hoops aren't good for me.
No, they're not. Good. All right, we'll send you out of their song, Billy.
Yes, yeah, good. We are Geelong, the greatest
team of all. On Ruined Dits for Breakfast.
Hello.
Get it straight from the horse's mouth.
I'm Mr. Red.
It's time for Roo's Tip of the Week.
Roo, just before we get to this week's tip, what happened to last week's tip?
Pulled up with an irregular heartbeat and high blood pressure. So, crook, basically.
How many things can also have wrong with it?
Yeah, well, if you saw it run, you'd realise it led and looked like it was going to do what it usually does and just keep on leading, but it died. So, yeah, it was crook. We've got a crook one.
I've heard some excuses before.
No, these are facts. It was in the steward's report, so I'm sorry there, punters.
Tell me again, what did it have?
It was crook, basically, in short.
Right.
Had the Tom Hawkins man flu. Tough day this weekend, so don't go crazy, punters out there. A bit of wet track, not a great program, but I'm going to tip you a very short price favourite in race two, which is always a bit scary, have your heart in your mouth, but I think this thing just wins. Race two, number three, it's called You Had Me at Hello.
$1.85.
Hey, it's better than bank interest. Have you seen the bank interest rate at the moment?
Yeah,
3%. This will get you 85% in about minute 40.
Okay.
All right, so race two, number three. And then there's a couple of very, very roughies, okay? Don't put a dollar each way on this. Mm-hmm. And that's only if race two wins. Race four, number nine, Floriani, should be about $15.
Mm-hmm.
And race eight, number 12, Lady Pavlichenko, at about $15 as well. A couple of real roughies there. It's Cox Plate Day over in Melbourne. Wet, a lot of rain forecast over there as well. So very, very hard to pick a winner out over there. There's an Adelaide horse called Bella Vella running, but I don't know, tough race to pick that one. Maybe go the Toppy Trekking if you're having a look.
Ooh.
There you go.
You like it, do you?
Not really. but if you're having a look,
okay.
It's a good horse.
All right. Get on your route.
Have a great weekend, everyone. Go the Tigers. Hopefully the Tigers can get up and a lot of Cat supporters around as well. But have a great grand final weekend and we'll see you Monday at 6:00.